in Syria now for the past 5 years from the time of the starting of the troubles, right, the beginning of the attack by Saudi Arabia and Turkey and the CIA on the Syrian government. Here he's been there. He's a feature on Syrian television and, of course, advises the government, the legal government of Syria. Thierry, welcome.
Hello. Hello.
Hey. Yes. Now, we want to talk first about, everybody's looking at this Geneva negotiating process, and that seems to have broken down for the moment. So maybe we start there.
So first you have to know that contrary to the appearances, the United Nations are not a fair negotiator for peace in Syria. Because since 3 years, the United Nations are the center of the plot against Syria and for the center for all the neocons and the liberal hawks from the U.S. In the Middle East. You have to remember that in June 2012, when it was the first Geneva Conference, Hillary Clinton was obliged to sign an agreement with Russia for peace in Syria. And that very day, she named his specialist for Middle East, Jeffrey Feltman, as number two of the United Nations.
That was Jeffrey Feltman. Let me go to Thierry Masson's page here. On the 6th of October 2011, on the proposition of the State Department, Volker Perthes took part in the closed conference organized by the Turkish Industry and Business Association, TUSIAD, and the private U.S. intelligence company Stratfor. Now, Stratfor had a little email which talked about their assassination program against Syria, and those are the exact words they use. Company Stratfor, in order to study Turkey's energy options and also the possible responses of eight other countries, including Germany. Now, let me go back to the beginning of this article. That's way down the page, but it's a picture of Jeffrey D. Feltman here, and he was the name that was mentioned there. Okay, back to the endless bad news horror story. 2005, when Jeffrey Feltman, then the U.S. ambassador in Brazil, supervised the assassination of Rafik Hariri, he relied on support from Germany, both for the assassination itself, Berlin supplied the weapon, and for the UNO commission charged with accusing presidents of El-Assad and Lahoud, prosecutor Detlev Meles, police commissioner Gerhard Lehmann, and their team. In parentheses. The international campaign against the two presidents was notably led by German political analyst Volker Perthes, V-O-L-K-E-R-P-E-R-T-H-E-S. Volker Perthes studied in Damascus, Syria in 1986 and 87, funded by a German research grant. He then went on to pursue a career as professor of political science in Germany, with the exception of the period between 91 and 93, during which he taught at the American University of Beirut. Since 2005, he has been the director of Stiftung Wissenschaft und Politik, SWP, the main German public think tank, which employs more than 130 specialists, half of whom are university professors. However, when Feldman organized the Israeli attack on Lebanon in 2006, he implicated only the United States, hoping that once Hezbollah was beaten, Syria would come to its rescue in Beirut, which would provide an excuse for U.S. intervention. Finally, Berlin sent only its Marines to participate in the United Nations forces. Finul. Now, this is DJ Mouse aside. The picture of Rafiq Hariri's body shows his white cloth collar intact, but his gold watch is melted. Now, this is nano uranium, and Germany has that technology, and obviously they used it. There's an Israeli drone tracking the car that is smoking gun in the hand of our in our murder puppet's hands, which is to say in our hands. So when you wake up looking down the barrel of a gun, you lie and say friend to the friend or foe question. And when he says, did anybody see anything, nobody points to the man still holding the smoking gun. But back to Voltairenet, and maybe we'll just go back to Thierry Meyssan on Syria.
The former ambassador of the United States in Beirut, in Lebanon, and after that he became the director for Middle East in the State Department. Now also he's number two of the United Nations. In fact, he's the real chief of the United Nations, because Ban Ki-moon is only with a protocolar role, but not an executive role. And in 2012, Jeffrey Feltman organized a group of lawyers who wrote a plan for total and unconditional rendition of Syria. He was thinking that the jihadists will overcome Syria, and they will defeat the Syrian government, and they will put the Muslim Brotherhood at power. So during 3 years, the United Nations were saying officially they want peace, and in fact, underground, they were supporting the CIA and the group of David Petraeus in the Middle East. At the beginning, they have as a special negotiator Lakhdar Brahimi, and now it is Staffan de Mistura, which is both Swedish and Italian people. So that guy organized the Geneva III conference. But just last September, I think it was last September, the Russian and the Syrian discovered the plan from Jeffrey Feltman and his team for the rendition of Syria. So they were absolutely astonished, and they asked to Staffan de Mistura some explanation. Of course, Staffan de Mistura was very uncomfortable, but he said to the Syrian government that he was not engaged by this paper from Jeffrey Feltman. And secretly, at that very moment, he named as is deputy at the United Nations, a German academic, his name is Volker Perthes, he is the chief of the biggest think tank in Europe now. And that guy was in fact the lawyer who wrote for Jeffrey Feltman this plan of total and conditional rendition of Syria in 2012. So from one hand, Staffan de Mistura was saying, don't be upset with that plan, it is, I'm not engaged by that. And from the other hand, he was putting that guy as chief negotiator for the United Nations in Syria. So when they organized this Geneva III conference, they said that Volker Perthes will be responsible to make the bridge between the two camps, between the government and the opposition. You know, they will be in two different rooms, and Volker Perthes must go from one room to the other. So when you know that, of course, it's clear that the United Nations are not fair, and now the United Nations are disagree with everybody, but only the place for the group of David Tetreault to continue his policy in the Middle East, and not only in the Middle East, because they continue also in Ukraine and in other countries.
Jerry, that is so important. That is political dynamite here, because we're in the midst of a presidential campaign, and we've got the first primary election in New Hampshire on Tuesday, and of course Hillary Clinton she's under attack for being a warmonger and for consorting and directing people of the type that you're saying. So this is absolutely critical, and please continue.
Yes. The group of David Petraeus and Hillary Clinton is continuing to organize the war in the Middle East and also in Ukraine, in the Caucasus in general. Yes. And so another point is that for this Geneva Conference, and the group for opposition was organized by Saudi Arabia in a big meeting in Riyadh.
Right.
And, of course, they decide only to support the war leaders they are already supporting in Syria. But they put in front of them some former Syrian politicians. So you right. can have this appearance of a group with some leaders able to be at power, and in their back the ship of war. But the reality is that this team for negotiation is totally in the hands of Saudi Arabia with this ship of war. And you know that during the last year, at the beginning, the opposition was like during the war against Iraq. It was composed with intellectuals that the CIA paid to revolt against the government. But now, this is finished. Because of the war,
Jerry, we're at the end of our first segment. We'll bring you back for a second segment, please, if you can. So just hold the thought.
And we'll go back to his article on VoltaireNet, Germany, and the UN. See, research, and then it was Hariri. Attack on Lebanon, including all the United States, hoping once more we're going on ramp. Finally, Berlin's enemy going on. Okay, next page. During the annual meeting of the Bilderberg Group between the 5th and the 8th of June 2008, 5 years before the war, Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice gave a presentation which underlined the necessity of overthrowing the Syrian government. She was accompanied in this task by the director of the Arab Reform Initiative, Basma Kodmani, future founder of the Syrian National Council and director of the SWP, Volker Perthes. The Bilderberg Group is a NATO initiative, and NATO directly handles security for these meetings. According to a cable revealed by WikiLeaks, Volker Perthes advised Ms. Rice concerning Iran. He believed that it would be dangerous to launch a military operation which could have unpredictable regional consequences. It was, however, more efficient to sabotage its economy. Volker Perthes' advice was followed in 2010 with the destruction of the software of Iranian nuclear plants by the Stuxnet virus. In March 2011, Volker Perthes published an opinion column in the New York Times mocking President Al-Assad's speech to the People's Chamber, during which the president had denounced a conspiracy against Syria. According to Perthes, the revolution was underway in Syria and Al-Assad had to go. In the summer of 2011, German government managed the breakthrough of Muslim Brotherhood in Tunisia and Egypt. It noted that at the CIA demand, it hosted the International Coordination of the Brotherhood in Aix-la-Chapelle, Aix-la-Chapelle. Berlin thus decided to support the Brotherhood everywhere they attained power, with the exception of Hamas in Palestine, in order to avoid annoying Israel. Under the influence of Volker Perthes, German Minister for Foreign Affairs at that time, Guido Westerwelle, G-U-I-D-O-W-E-S-T-E-R-W-E-L-L-E, persuaded himself that the Brotherhood was not Islamist, but guided by Islam. He created a discussion forum with the moderate Islamist movements, SIC, and a task force for Syria. As for Perthes, he organized a reception at the ministry in July for a delegation from the Syrian opposition, led by Brother Radwan Ziada. And there's a picture of a speech by Ahmet Davutoglu during closed Tusayad Stratfor conference, 6th of October 2011. On 6th October 2011, on the proposition of the State Department, Volker Perthes took part in the closed conference organized by the Turkish Industry and Business Association, Tusayad, and the private U.S. intelligence company, Stratfor, in order to study Turkey's energy options and also the possible response of eight other countries, including Germany. Present at the meeting were the 10 top Turkish fortunes and Taner Yildiz, the Minister for Energy, the man who was supposed to help the Erdogan family organize the funding of the war with oil stolen by Daesh. In January 2012, Jeffrey Feltman, then State Department Director for Near East, asked Volker Perthes to direct the Day After program, which was tasked with putting together the next regime in Syria. These meetings were held over a six-month period and resulted specifically in a report which was made public after the Geneva conference. The Day After mobilized 45 members of the Syrian opposition, including Basma Kodmani and the Muslim Brotherhood. It was financed by the U.S. Institute of Peace, the equivalent of the National Endowment for Democracy, NED, but is under the authority of the Department of Defense. Also solicited were Germany, France, Norway, Holland, and Switzerland. The Day After drew up the first draft of the plan for the total and unconditional capitulation of Syria, which became the obsession of the United States. Which became the obsession of the United Nations once Jeffrey Feltman was nominated Director of Political Affairs for the United Nations, July 2012. There's another picture. At his official swearing-in as number two of UNO, the 2nd of July 2012, Jeffrey D. Feltman takes an oath before General Secretary Ban Ki-moon. As of that date, the organization which is supposed to promote peace has been under the control of liberal hawks. Here are the principles of the Perthes-Feltman plan. The sovereignty of the Syrian people will be abolished. The constitution will be repealed. The president will be relieved of his functions, but a vice president will remain in charge of formal functions. The People's Assembly will be dissolved. At least 120 leaders will be considered guilty and banned from any political function, then judged and condemned by an international tribunal. The Director of Military Intelligence, the Director of Political Security, and the Direction of Military Intelligence, Direction of Political Security, and Direction of General Security will be dismantled and dissolved. Political prisoners will be freed, and anti-terrorist procedures will be repealed. political in parentheses. Hezbollah and the Guardians of the Revolution will be made to withdraw. Then and only then will the international community fight terrorism. At the same time, those were all the day after plan. At the same time, Volker Perthes organized the Working Group on Economic Recovery and Development for the Friends of Syria. In June 2012, under co-presidency of Germany and United Arab Emirates, the group distributed to the members of the states of the Friends of Syria concessions for the exploitation of Syrian gas, which would be claimed in return for their support for the overthrow of the Assad regime. Volker Perthes also organized the Working Group on Transition Planning for the Arab League. Finally, he set up the Syrian Transitional Support Network in Istanbul. From the Geneva Conference, 30th of June 2012, and the meeting of the Friends of Syria in Paris, 6th of July 2012, we can find no more public traces of Volker Perthes' role, apart from his publications, which are aimed at maintaining Germany's support for the Muslim Brotherhood. Germany is maintaining its policy, and after the abdication of the Emir of Qatar and the powerful rise of Saudi Arabia, nominated Boris Rouge, the director for Syria in the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, as its ambassador to Riyadh. In January, here's a picture of Merkel demonstrated tolerance against terrorism and arm in arm with Ayman Mazak, the General Secretary of Central Council of Muslims in Germany. In reality, she is one of the leaders of the Muslim Brotherhood. In the summer of 2015, during his visit to Damascus, the Syrian government asked Staffan de Mistura for an explanation concerning the Perthes-Feldman plan, of which he had only just been made aware. Highly embarrassed, the special envoy of the General Secretary of the UNO confirmed that these documents did not engage him and promised to take no notice of them. It seems that Moscow had threatened to make them public at the Security Council during the presence of the heads of state at the opening of the General Assembly in September 2015. However, the documents were not divulged. The revelation would have questioned the very existence of the United Nations organization. During the same period, Berlin once again made contact with Damascus, but Syrians were unable to determine whether the secret initiative was a reflection of a new policy by Chancellor Merkel or one more attempt at infiltration. However, at the same time, Volker Perthes was nominated by Staffan de Mistura and his superior, Jeffrey Feltman, as a peace negotiator, for the next meeting in Geneva. He will be tasked with meeting alternatively with a delegation from the Syrian opposition and a delegation from the Syrian Arab Republic. For the last 3 years, in violation of their own charter, the United Nations, far from doing anything at all to help restore peace in Syria, and without presenting the slightest evidence, accused the Syrian Arab Republic of having put down a revolution, of using chemical weapons against its own population, of the massive practice of torture and of starving its people. Above all, it is dragging its feet on any peace initiative, leaving time for NATO and the Gulf Cooperation Council to pilot the overthrow of the regime by foreign mercenaries. In this instance, the terrorist organization Al-Qaeda and Daesh. Keep in mind, since 2005, the group assigned to preparing the war in Syria is being piloted by the U.S. diplomat Jeffrey Feltman, assisted by the German academic Volker Perthes. Now, 2005 is about when Negroponte is coming up with his Salvador option, okay, death squads, government death squads, and on. Of course, in the Contra war, where the Contras are death squads against the government. So, you get them coming in, you get them going. And the second point, in 2005, Feltman organized the assassination of Rafik Hariri because the security of Lebanon was handled by Syria. In 2006, he organized Israel's war against Lebanon because Hezbollah was then armed by Syria. In 2011, he directed the fourth generation war from the State Department since 2012 from the United Nations, for which he has become the number two, he has been working to make the war last long enough for the jihadist groups to achieve victory. And what is the third point? Perthes associated himself with Feltman and the private group Stratfor in order to influence German policy in the Near East. In 2008, he presented the project for regime change in Damascus to the Bilderberg Group. In 2011, he convinced Merkel's government to support the Muslim Brotherhood during the Arab Spring, which I call Arab Sting. Could be the Anglo-Arab Sting, although there's plenty of Franco in there. In 2012, he presided a work group tasked with preparing the new regime, then drew up a plan for the total and unconditional capitulation of Syria. Today, he is the UNO director for the Geneva peace negotiations. That was Thierry Meyssan from www.voltaire.net.org/article190102.html. And let me go on to Brazilians not buying. This is the Unhived Mind WordPress. Not buying Zika, excuse for babies with fucking babies. From the BBC, January 21st, 2016. Quoting BBC, Brazil says the number of babies born with a suspected microcephaly or abnormally small head since October has now reached nearly 4,000. In the worst affected areas, about 1% of newborns have suspected microcephaly. Brazilian authorities believe the increase is caused by an outbreak of Zika virus. Just 150 babies were born with microcephaly in 2014. The brain condition can be deadlier, cause intellectual disability and developmental delays. Colombia's health minister has advised women there to delay pregnancy. Brazil's health ministry says there have been 3,893 suspected cases of microcephaly since October, when the authorities first noticed a surge, up from 3,500 in last week's report. My insert here is the key part which proves it is not Zika. So this next line, that last wasn't the BBC. My insert was the capitals where he's pointing out the coming line. So link with Zika has not been confirmed, but a small number of babies who died had the virus in their brain, and no other explanation for the surge in microcephaly has been suggested. Quote from the BBC. So that means only a small number of babies who died had the virus. A large number of the babies who died had no Zika in their brain, so their microcephaly was caused by the uranium mining, or maybe it was the vaccines that were mandated in 2014. So the year before this 2015 spike, they mandated vaccinations. And it's also the area where they released GMO mosquitoes. And so it's, of course, it's like the protection racket is a little too above the board. It's like, you can't, like, okay, 1947, Rockefeller gets their hands on this virus, right? They've got the patent on the goddamn virus. Now, that doesn't mean that it's causing this, because there's all this other stuff going on. Never mind the, now, I always told a person who made a mouse on me, just tell them it's the mercury, because not only did I get it from those buzz my dad poured the sluice into and threw on the, but he told me to stay away from it. And then there was the mercury fillings, and then there was the thimerosal, the vaccinations that use it as an adjudicant. Like the Gulf War syndrome, they're using squalene, okay? You can use aluminum, anything to magnify the irritability effect. Now, this has zero medical value, but it means that you need 1/1000th of the actual medicine. And then your body is zeroing in on, what's the problem, what's the problem? I mean, right? You're cutting it with baking soda so you can sell this shit, only it's worse. It's like a disease in itself. But it means you won't come down with the thing, because it magnifies one effect at the expense of all your other systems.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes here. Thank you so much. On World Crisis Radio, back in a minute. Welcome back to World Crisis Radio. We are getting some highly relevant information on the activities of Hillary Clinton, among other things, from our good friend Thierry Meyssan in Damascus, Syria. And this also bears on this high negotiating authority, I guess they call themselves, which has been stocked with some veteran Syrian politicians, and these people are backed up, of course, by Saudi Arabia, and Saudi Arabia now threatening to send troops. So please continue, Thierry. We got another 10 minutes.
Yes. All the real members of this team for the opposition are chief of war, paid by Saudi Arabia, and these people were chosen because of their they are from some tribes from the desert in Syria, Iraq, and Saudi Arabia. You have some tribes in this part. And you know that the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia is a very special state. This is the only state in the world which is the personal property of a king. Yes, this is incredible to know. But you know, there is no budget for example, because the budget of a state is the personal budget of a king.
Right.
He's the owner of everything, and in this kingdom is a tribal kingdom, because at the beginning it was created by the United Kingdom, using a tribe in this desert to fight against the Ottoman Empire. So when King Abdulaziz, the first king of Saudi Arabia, created this state, he made a big genocide of all the other tribes in Saudi Arabia. And now in this kingdom, the power is a tribal power. There is no politics. There is no political parties. It is totally forbidden. But there is no politics at all. There is only the tribal links of fidelity from the king to his subjects. And as they are paying now the chief of war in Syria, they are asking them the same kind of relations. So now these people are really tribesmen, and they can't pretend to represent all the Syrian people, which are people from the cities with totally different behavior. So, and you learn that after 3 days of chaotic talks, and this Geneva conference was suspended, and it will restart only in 10 days, something like that.
Right.
Why? Because on the ground now, it was a big offensive of the Syrian army and the Russian air force against the jihadists. All this offensive was planned since last September. You had first a phase of aerial bombing against the jihadists to destroy all their equipment, because during 5 years they have built bunkers underground. They have incredible equipment with them. So all these things were first destroyed. Most of them were first destroyed by the Russian Air Force. And now the Syrian army on the ground is going through the jihadists to expel them out of Syria. During the last weeks, the Syrian army was able to control quite all the south of the country. I mean the Jordan border and the Israeli border, and they are now attacking Aleppo, which is the second city in the country. And you know that in Syria, when you have Damascus and Aleppo with you, you have in fact all the country. Right now, the government is in Damascus, and certainly in 2 weeks, they will liberate Aleppo. So, for the jihadists, this is a big defeat. They will withdraw from all the inhabitant part of Syria, and they will go to Deir ez-Zor and Raqqa, which are two towns occupied by Daesh now. So it will clarify the things, because all the jihadists will be with Daesh or will be out of Syria. And we can expect, I'm not sure, but there is already an agreement between Russia and the White House. I don't say with the United States, because there is too many powers in the United States now. But
of course,
Russia and the White House to bomb together Daesh from March and to finish with Daesh in Syria. They will continue in Iraq, but to finish with them in Syria. And if the U.S. forces and the Russian forces are working together next month, they will stop also the action of Israel, France, United Kingdom and Turkey in the north of Syria, because all these countries want to create a new state in the northeast of Syria. And when they will create this state, they will expel the Kurds from Turkey to this state. So, as the U.S. and Russia don't want such a fake state in the northeast of Syria, they plan to act like they did in 1956 with the Suez Canal expedition from the French and the British, with the help of Israel and Turkey. Exactly the same situation, but now.
Tremendous. Thank you for the good news.
Yes. And so we can hope that in the next 6 months, the war will be ended here in Syria.
Once upon the Contra War, DJ Mouse heard the crunch of the bumper, puppy under the bumper of a driver not even backing off the gas, never mind hitting the brakes after Libya, because President Assad had 55% support before the Arab sting, as racist in its framing as the anti-black genocide hitting Africa in its wake. This is DJ Mouse, founding member of Bolsheviks Anonymous. We realize that only by appealing to a power higher than ourselves can we overcome our disability and be happy hippies, and happy hippies don't kill people. But we do meet first and third Thursday at the Long Haul Berkeley Liberation Radio, that is 7:30, 3124 Shattuck, kick down $20. You can have a month of 2 hours a week on the mic.
Only ever told me what's good news.